Welcome back to Inside Rock. This week we're talking about the vinyl comeback. Records, baby.
Yeah, they're coming back in a big way, aren't they?
Well, they never really left me. I've always been a vinyl fan.
Wow, we had a huge collection of vinyl records. And our dad had a huge collection of 78s, which weren't actually vinyl, were they?
No, we'll cover that. They were made of something else that they had to change eventually. But I think everybody had vinyl, and a lot of people, like any other, you know, media source or media format, I should say, they usually, you know, go the way of the dodo, right? And you move on to something else. And that happened with vinyl, but now it's making a resurgence, coming back. And, you know, it's kind of weird when you think about it. I love it because I've always loved my records and I love the sound of them. But it's weird that a piece of plastic that is being read by a stylus is making a comeback. People want to hear that instead of digital.
It's the same with audio books and reading stuff on the internet and on your computer. Some people just prefer the feel of a book in their hands or opening a newspaper and having that, you know, that physical touch of the media. And the same thing when you had vinyl. You're taking it out of the sleeve. You're careful how you put it on. You put the stylus down, and you were part of the whole action. Of listening to a record. Now, before we get too much further, we should mention that good old Cha isn't with us tonight.
Yeah, vacation boy.
Yeah, he's on vacation. So he said, you know, take a break. We'll cover this one, but you're going to have to pay for it when you get back at some point.
Yeah, we'll struggle through this without him.
Yeah, so I hope Cha's having fun wherever he may be.
We know where he is, but we're not telling anyone. It's top secret.
Anyway,
Trudeau took off, right? And it was very top secret. You know, no one knew where he was. It's something like that.
You had to ruin my mood by mentioning that, dickhead.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Anyway, we won't get into politics in this.
No.
Wacky.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah. So people just like the feel of it and being involved with the music. And now, one of the big downfalls of vinyl and records is that, you know, you can't put together a playlist. You can't listen to like 2 hours at a time. You have to keep replacing the vinyl record and turning it over. And so you have to be actively involved. It's all part of the experience, right?
Well, for sure. And also, they take up a little bit of room. I mean, I'm pushing, 1,800 records down here, and they take up a lot of room.
Well, and that's why the cassette tape became so popular. You could put together playlists, and you can you can store just a ton of music in a very small box. Vinyl had its day, and it got pushed out because of convenience and what people wanted to do with their music, make it more... listen to it more in volume and just sit back and not have to do anything.
Yeah, true. You know, and we're talking about vinyl on this show. I mean, we could do another show on equipment and turntables, and that'd be another show. But, you know, the way, you know, even though vinyl's making a big comeback, it kind of makes me angry when I see these cheap record players being sold. The ones that are in a suitcase, I'm not going to say the brands, but everybody knows what they are. They're affordable, but I call them record lathes. You know, they just destroy your record.
Well, the sound is shit, and you're right. It destroys the record. You need a high quality stylus. You need a good sound system for the sound reproduction. When we were younger, we always bought the best equipment.
Yeah, and you know, you said it's about taking care of your records too. Record care is huge. I've never put a finger on my records, you know, never.
You have to explain that. You have to take it out of the sleeve. So how do you do it?
Well, you let it slide out against the palm of your hand, the edge, and you grab it from the center so that you're not putting your actual finger.
Yeah, you let it slide out, hit your palm, and then your finger's underneath on the label underneath.
Absolutely, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
And so how do you clean your records?
Well, there's special brushes. There's anti-static brushes as well that you know, that you use. It's funny because they sell this liquid as vinyl cleaning fluid, and really all it is distilled water and alcohol mixture, the right amounts,
which you can buy for about a gallon of buck each at the shopping market. Yeah,
I mean, they charge big bucks for this vinyl cleaning fluid. I needed some, and I thought, I'm going to read the back of this container. What the hell is this stuff anyway? That's all it is, distilled water and
alcohol.
And alcohol. Yeah.
You've used soap too, right?
Well, I will. You go to the thrift store, and I get a lot of my records at thrift stores, and you know, they're not in the best shape. There's a lot of dust on them, and that's where the crackle comes from, and we'll get into that later. But dust is one of the worst offenders. But then there's like somebody just got finished eating a Big Mac, and they just grabbed the record. It's stuff all over the record. So, yeah, when I buy those, I'll definitely use a very low pH dish soap and very soft sponge. And because essentially a record is just plastic, it's vinyl, right?
Yeah, so, but you don't want any residue of that soap there, so you got to really make sure you get that off.
That's why you use a very low pH soap. And but there's a way to do it. They actually have tools where you can actually grab the record. It's a clamp that clamps over the label on both sides, and so the label doesn't get wet. And then you wash the record like that and rinse it, and then you unclamp it so the label's not damaged.
See, I mean, people out there thinking, this is why I'm really not going to get a vinyl collection, just because of the maintenance and the care, when you can just pop in a CD or a flash drive or just go to streaming service. And again, that's one of the reasons vinyl kind of petered out back in the late 90s or early 90s.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, you know what though? You either get it or you don't. Like the artwork alone, like going to Sam the Record Man and Records on Wheels, and maybe even when Towers Department Store is where I bought my first record. But when you go and buy records, it's an experience going there and looking at all the artwork, and you don't get the same thing on an audio cassette or even a CD.
True.
Right, you had albums that were gatefold. They opened up like Kiss Alive, right, from 1975. You know, you open it up, it's got the concert shot, it's got the booklet inside. It was such a decision buying a record.
Now, I mentioned about the cassette tape, and that's what you have to realize is that you needed the record player to make your mixtape.
Boy, absolutely.
Because if you bought a store-bought cassette, the quality wasn't as good, and there's only a couple songs on it. So if you bought a store-bought pre-recorded cassette for your, and a lot of the reason they were popular, because they're portable then, right? You couldn't carry your record player around.
Well, they did have portable record players.
We covered that one. Yeah, it's crap.
I know.
But now you could record something, put it on a cassette tape, put it in a Sony Walkman, or put it in your car stereo. And that was like huge. You could take it with you rather than just listening at home, but you still needed your record player to make your mixtape. Cause how else were you going to do it back then?
Well, you could record, let's tune into your favorite radio station. Wait for
the radio. Yeah. You could do that. Yeah.
Right. And that's how I remember we used to have the portable tape deck. Remember? We used to sit up by the one speaker of the stereo console, the long stereo console, and we used to plop it up on a couple of shoe boxes or whatever, and wait for the song to come on, and then start recording with a microphone. I mean,
and inevitably you would miss it by about 5 seconds.
Or the loudmouth DJ wouldn't shut up during the intro and talk through the whole front part of the song.
Yeah, that's right. I remember when I lived in London, we used to call into the local radio station and request songs all the time. And they would always say your name. This song was requested by, and we would record those. And, so it was a lot of fun. But you're right. That was the other way to do it, is listen to your radio station and record those.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But so, what is a record? What is a vinyl record? How did it all begin?
Well, again, it didn't start off as vinyls. We talked before. Vinyl didn't come until the 60s.
That's right. Well, let's start off with the invention. Thomas Edison actually developed the phonograph.
And yeah, there were recording devices before that, but they wouldn't play.
They wouldn't play. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You could record things, but what good is it? You record it, now you can't play it. What the hell good is that?
Yeah. And the amount of play time when it eventually did get sound was very limited as well.
Right.
Because he, Thomas Edison, he had a stylus that it read a groove on a wax cylinder and it converted it into sound via a diaphragm. That was in 1877. That's how far back.
It was like a cylinder. Even RCA Victor, when they tried to introduce it for the very first time, I think that was in the 30s. It didn't go well. The format just wasn't accepted and the quality wasn't good. And it was just like a novelty type of thing that never caught on. But then they took another shot at it later and they came up with the 45 version with the hole in the middle. That was the late 40s, I think.
That was, I believe you are correct, but you're jumping ahead about 20 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, so let's talk about the first one, the 78s.
Yeah. Well, the 78s were, again, here's where the material comes into play, where you were saying it's not vinyl, it was actually shellac.
Right.
That's what they actually used to make them. Now, I think the ultimate downfall of shellac was the lack of it in the 60s.
And also, they were very fragile.
And they were heavy, too. Yeah. Like, so 78s, like you said, so 78, let's talk about what you're talking about, 78s. Like, there are different speeds. I mean, there are people going to be tuning into this show wondering, like, what the hell's
a 78? Yeah, these 78, 33 and a third, and 45 all represents the revolutions per minute at which the disc would spin by.
That's right. And if usually it was printed on the label, what speed you should set your player to.
Right.
And, you know, if it wasn't, I mean, rule of thumb was a 12-inch record was primarily a 33 and a third, right?
Yeah, the vinyls.
Yeah, and the 10-inch records were 78s, and then the 7-inch were 45 RPMs. So that was a rule of thumb, most of them. I mean, they also had, you know, LPs that were 7 inches that played at 33 and a third, but again, that was later.
Yeah, they had the small hole, but the 45 vinyls that came out later had the big hole in the middle, which you needed an adapter to play on your turntable.
So why did they have a big hole in the middle of the 45?
I was going to ask you that question. Do you know that answer?
Well, when jukeboxes were popular, they would accommodate the jukebox. The arm would come and it would be easier for it to slop it down over that big cylinder to play.
Oh,
right. A smaller hole would be a lot more difficult for an electronic device that like to drop it onto onto the cylinder.
Oh, that makes sense. I didn't know that. There you go.
Yeah. So 45s were popular.
Yeah, because all the jukebox were 45s.
They were 45s. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Well, but there you go. Now I know.
Yeah. See, but you're right. The 78s were different. They didn't last. I mean, they were heavy. They were heavy. And they were very easily broken.
Well, how many 78s did Dad have in his collection? Half of them were cracked or chipped.
For sure.
Yeah, they were nasty.
Yeah, that's right.
If you dropped one, it was done. It just exploded.
Yeah. Yeah. It would.
I know. Yeah.
And I still see 78s at thrift stores, but...
People are trying to, you know, come up with an idea of what it felt like or what it looked like. Picture a big flat disc of peanut brittle. You know, like the sugar that's melted and then it hardens.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That was the consistency of a 78. And if you dropped it, it broke just like peanut brittle.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the quality was not the best either. It's hard to get a nice, you know, a nice clean sound out of a 78.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
So then the 78s, because of lack of materials and the fragility and the lack of, you know, sound quality, it gave way to some inventions. And RCA was kind of at the front of that. as well as the what was it, the Columbia Record Company.
Yeah, there was a kind of a battle at that time between RCA and Columbia. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
It, you know, and I, what did it come down to? I think it came down to playtime. That's what it was. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't it sound like the VHS beta battle?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's yeah. The, it was the record time that ultimately, you know, won the battle for VHS. But same thing goes with the records. You know, the 45 was, I mean, I think it was only the records were only able to play about, what was it, 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes?
I don't know.
I believe so. And what they were trying to do is come up with a way to have a longer play time. And that's where the LP record actually took off.
LP. And what does LP stand for?
Well, long play.
There long you go. Play. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was Columbia Record that came. They had the first 12 inch LP, 33 and a third. That's and they right. called it a microgroove record album.
Yeah.
So, I mean, remember you talked before on one of the other podcasts about the size of the groove and the quality and why certain records are only a certain length of time?
Well, yeah, because it kind of, yeah, I looked into it because when you look at albums, they're usually around anywhere from like from 35 to 45, 5 minutes in length. Like that's the play time, generally speaking, both sides of an album. I thought, well, why is that? Why? Why do they limit it to that? Why? And the reason is, you know, the thinner the groove, so the more information you put on a record, the size of the record doesn't get bigger, but the grooves have to become thinner. And when they become thinner, there's loss of audio quality because of the thin grooves. And mm-hmm. so the more, like, that's why KTEL records, I mean, I'm a big fan of KTEL. But if you get a KTEL album, it's 22 explosive hits, whatever you want to call it, you know, there's a lot of songs on there. And they say those albums don't produce the same kind of quality as a, you know, a regular studio version of a record. So anyway, I yeah, that's why. That's why they who was it? Was Barry Manilow? Barry Manilow that kind of got back at the industry, or his label, he was getting booted from his label. So the last record that he put out on that label before he left was like 76 minutes in length. Now, I mean,
crap quality.
Fans probably thought, oh, this is great. Right. But ultimately, yeah, they say it was kind of a shot at the
yeah, but he's only hurting himself too, though, doing that.
Yeah, I know. It was probably a compilation album anyway. I mean, Barry Manilow's got a shitload of hits anyway, so.
Yeah. So anyway, so Columbia comes out with the 33 and a third, 12-inch, mm-hmm. and then RCA follows up pretty much on their heels with the 7-inch 45 with the hole in the middle. And then shortly after that, I mean, that was the end for Shellac Records in the 78s.
Yeah.
By the 60s, there were no more 78s around, new ones anyway.
With Shellac, yeah, Shellac.
Shellac, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there you go. And then Philips came in with the cassette. It was at the early 60s, I think, right?
Well, the cassette?
Yeah, those you could play, the early ones you could play, but you couldn't record on them.
Well, that was 1962. That was Philips actually introduced that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first cassette tape. I mean, who knew about cassette tapes in the 60s? I sure certainly didn't.
No.
You know,
well, again, and usually limited use.
Well, and also, too, when a new format comes out, it's usually very expensive. You know, I remember when CDs came out, it was like, oh, my God, they're expensive. You couldn't even afford a CD player. It was crazy.
Right.
But yeah, it was 1962. And, but the albums, they were in the 70s, they were huge, right?
Oh, yeah. That's all everybody did. You bought albums. And again, they're the vinyl based. And vinyl comes from what they're made out of, right? PVC, which is a polyvinyl chloride.
That is correct.
And that's where the vinyl term comes from. That's, and they were durable. They were lightweight. You could drop them when they were in their sleeve and it wouldn't hurt them. But just like the other ones, you could scratch them. You could damage them. You had to be careful.
That's where the term came from, like a broken record. You've heard, you know, if someone's repeating themselves, they say the same thing over and over again. You sound like a broken record. Well, it's not actually a broken record. It's actually a scratched record.
A scratched record, you know, because it would skip. Yeah. It did.
That's right. You just keep repeating, right?
Well, you know about that with your Behind Blue Eyes experience.
Honestly. So Oat buys me Who's Next by The Who for my birthday. And I'm up to visit him at university. I'm in his dorm room and I'm listening to this album. I'm absolutely loving it. And one of the best songs on the album, in my opinion, is Behind Blue Eyes. It's playing and I'm laying on the floor and the record player's, you know, about 3 feet away from me against the wall playing great tunes. And I'm bouncing this tennis ball against the wall and catching it. Well, I missed it. It started bouncing around the room. I'm thinking, oh, no. And doesn't it land right on the stylus when it's playing Behind Blue Eyes? So to this day, my record skips right now on Behind Blue Eyes. I got to find another copy of that record.
It's a good memory, though. Well, I mean, a good memory, but a long-lasting memory.
That's for sure. It had to be on that song, too. I mean, the whole album's great, but it had to be on that song.
So why do you think vinyl's making a comeback? Like, why? What's your opinion on that?
Well, there's a lot of audiophiles that claim that records give a warmer, cleaner sound. Now, I mean, this has been a debate. There are people that listen to CDs. What they say, how can you compare the digital quality of a CD, right, against a piece of plastic? And, you know, unless you listen to, you have a good system and a good turntable and a good needle, you really do hear. It's a really clean sound. And I think they're fun to collect. I think that's a big part of it, is that they're fun to collect.
Well, like you mentioned about all the artwork and the detail and the album cover art. And,
you know, there's just something to be said about finding that album you've been looking for and holding in your hands and taking it out, see that the vinyl's in excellent shape and you get home and playing it. There's just something about it. I don't know. A lot of people won't get it. But there's a lot of younger people that are getting on board with it, though.
Well, when you listen to a streaming service, you do it online, all you're doing is renting the music, right? When you have an album, you own it. It's in your hands. It's yours, you know, and you can play it anytime you want. And
you know, I'm in a group on a social media group and vinyl enthusiasts. And remember when Neil Young wanted his music pulled from Spotify during that whole Joe Rogan thing, right?
Yeah, bye-bye, Neil. Nobody's going to miss you.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody in my group, well, I'm canceling, like everybody, I'm canceling Spotify. I'm out. I don't care. I've got my record collection. I don't need Spotify. You know, it's those people that, you know, give a rat's ass about, you know, a streaming service when they have a fantastic collection of music, you know, that they can listen to at home. You know, I mean, it's not that important. See you later. Now, a lot of the younger generation would disagree, right? They'll think, well, Spotify is the cat's ass. I mean,
it is
great. Don't get me wrong. Well, I mean, like Spotify. We all have it.
Selection, availability, the playtime, you name it, you can do it with that music. What you can't do is touch it.
Yeah. You can't. But isn't it funny though? You want to hear a song? Okay. Right now, you just go to your smartphone and you could hear any song that you want pretty much.
Yeah.
That's crazy when you think about it. And back in the day, if you wanted to hear a song, you had to buy the record.
You know,
to wait for it to come on the radio. You know what I mean?
The one song I could never find anywhere. I think you found it for me, but it was a lot of searching. It's not on any streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
Hardcore Man from Freebie and the Bean.
Well, I didn't find it. I ripped it.
Did you?
Yeah. So that's by Bobby Hart.
Yeah.
And it was in the movie Freebie and the Bean with Alan Arkin. And
great song. I love that song.
Peter Falk, wasn't it? No, Alan Arkin.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It was Freebie and the Bean anyway.
Yeah.
And I happened to have the 45 that we got as a promo when we worked it at the movie theater. right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we got it. So anyway, I did an MP3 rip of it from
a. You can't find that anywhere.
Yeah, but we have it now digitally. But anyway, yeah, there are certain songs. Yeah, you have a hard time finding. That's for sure. Yeah,
so
that's a great tune, Bobby Hart.
It's just a fun song.
Oh, it's a great song. Great song.
Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, So how does a record? People have probably wondered, how does a record work? How does a needle in a groove produce sound? Right?
That's a very good question.
Well, we just take it for granted, you know. Here are these grooves in the record. Okay, but how are we getting, you know, the vocals, the sound, the drums, the bass, the highs, the lows? It's bloody incredible when you think about it.
It is incredible, yeah.
Yeah, it's really incredible.
So you're going to enlighten us on that?
Well, I could. It may take another... a podcast though.
Oh.
it's pretty complicated.
But yeah, you think about it. It's like, well, it has to do with vibrations, right? It causes vibrations in the needle, but you're right. I mean, these specific tones and sounds, and it's amazing.
It's incredible. Incredible. Well, it's all based on sound waves and vibrations and how they travel through the air as well. You know, it's pretty complicated, but the groove on the record, it's just one continuous groove on the album.
All the way around. Blows,
which is really amazing. And the fact is, when they produce these records, and how often did you get a record that actually had a defect in it that wouldn't play, and you maybe had to take it back in for an exchange, which was unheard of back in the day.
But yeah, I had one.
You do have one?
No, I had one. When I took it out, the vinyl was warped.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could happen.
It was warped and I had to take it back. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it was really warped.
Wow. Well, I'm not going to get too technical, but in a nutshell, the groove that you see on a vinyl record is like a fingerprint of the sound waves captured in a lacquered disc. That's basically what the record is. And these three-dimensional cuts within the spiral groove on the vinyl record are a recording of how the sound waves behave as they move through the air.
But the detail, the sound that picks up is unbelievable.
Well, even CDs, you could apply the same kind of concept to CDs. How does an optical...
It's a laser.
Laser read the CD? It picks up the pits on the disc, right? And it's incredible, the technology, when you think about it.
Right.
But yeah, records are fantastic. Yeah, they really are. So knowing that and how they work, when I see someone grab a record with their finger and thumb right on the grooves, thinking, what are you doing, man? Like, that's how complex those grooves are. You got to protect them, right?
Yeah.
So
again, that's the pro and the con about it.
Yeah, I guess you are correct. That is a pro and the con.
So vinyl started to make a little bit of a comeback in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And then it's been picking up steam ever since. And now it's like 2022 and it's all the rage. I mean, there are used record stores all over the place and the buy and sell on Marketplace and Kijiji, and people are buying and selling stuff all over the place.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, people are the younger generation. I think their parents, who actually are audiophiles, like my sons are into vinyl, you know, and
I know Cha's son is too.
Yeah, especially the classic rock stuff. So I think it's when they were exposed to it from their parents. I think that helps, you know, because quite frankly, what. Kid, I mean, not to put down records because I love them, but what kid in the right mind nowadays, if they didn't know about the, would want to go out and buy a plastic disc and then spend, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on equipment to play it when you got Spotify for free on your fingertips? Why?
You got your phone and earbuds. Phone and earbuds, good to go. Yeah, like right. You say, it's not strictly for the music. It's for, like you said, it's the experience. Part of the experience and the tangibility of the experience.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, I hope they keep pushing forward with vinyl. I mean, and you know, we skipped over the part about colored vinyl too. Even with the you know, the ability to color the records now. Now you can get records that have different colored vinyl, you know, purple, yellow, white vinyl, transparent vinyl. Those are collectible as well. So,
yeah, and I've got, I mean, the latest stats I have are from 2018 on vinyl sales, but there were 9.7 million album sales mm-hmm. in 2018 mm-hmm. of vinyl. 9.7 million. And that
That's
was
incredible.
And that was up 12% from 2017, where there's 8.6. And vinyl sales accounted for almost 14% of all physical sales, up from 10% in 2017 and 8% in 2016. So it's grown like crazy. And that was 4 years ago. And it's still growing.
Yeah, well, it's just going to get better, I think, you know. But we need to educate people on how to play them properly. Because don't think you just grab an album and play it on some cheap crap thing you get at, you know, Walmart, and it's going to sound good, you know?
No, I know.
It's just not.
Here's an interesting statistic. About 66% of vinyl albums sold in 2018 mm-hmm. were released at least, but probably more than 3 years before that. So they aren't new albums. People are going back and picking up albums that were released previously. And the top 10, mm-hmm. guess what number one was? Do you know what number one was?
Vinyl sale?
Yeah. And no. This is in 2018.
No.
Well, because of the popularity of Awesome Mixtape number one.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy was number one in album sales, right?
Yeah, my son's got that one, actually. He bought that album, yeah.
Sold just over 47,000 albums. And then guess what number two was? One of the biggest selling...
Lady Gaga.
No. Michael Jackson, Thriller.
Still pounding out sales.
Yeah, about 46,500 sold. And then Beatles was number three. And then... We've done a podcast.
Wait a minute. Beatles what?
Beatles Abbey Road. Sorry. Abbey Road.
Oh, Abbey Road. Okay.
Yeah, over 43,000. And then Fleetwood Mac jumps into the top five at number four with Rumors.
Rumors. Yeah.
Almost 39,000. And then God Rest His Soul, Prince and the Revolution, Purple Rain, over 38,000. Those are the top five anyway.
Geez, but, I wonder if there was a purple pressing of Purple Rain. I'm pretty sure there was.
I probably was. So anyway, you know, vinyl's making a comeback.
Do you know who's a real... I've mentioned this in another podcast about Jack White. I love Jack White from the White Stripes.
Yeah.
Jack White, he's a big advocate and producer, artist, but he's into vinyl big time. One of my favorite albums is Lazaretto. And Lazaretto, he did a holographic image. So on the album's cover is reflected in the hologram of the two angels that appears when the Ultra LP is being played. So when you're actually playing the record, you can actually see this holographic image of two angels.
Come up the 3D off of the album?
Off an album, yeah. Holographic image. Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, my son's got that album.
You need a special light to make that happen, or?
Well, you have the right lighting. I don't know, but it's very cool. Wow. But yeah, Jack White, I love the fact that he's a newer artist. He's not classic rock, but a newer artist. And
there are some artists who are now producing new vinyl albums for sale.
Well, for sure. Well, look at Adele 30. I mean, remember, she supposedly had shut down the whole market because there were so many albums of hers being printed. It took up all the production. Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's how many albums she had printed.
Wow.
Pressed, I should say. Not printed, pressed. Yeah, so I don't know. What else you want to talk about with albums? We can go. I don't want to get into specific albums. We could, but that's another podcast.
Just in general.
But the art of making records and marketing, like the marketing of albums, we could make that another topic. you know, all the different marketing gimmicks and whatnot. Yeah, there's some good stuff out there. But
all right. Well, is it going to wrap this one up then?
Yeah, I think I want to go play a record right now.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And a lot of, just before we wrap up, the word vinyl, I think there's a lot of controversy, especially like even in my groups I'm in. They say, well, they're called records. They're not called, vinyl is the material, right?
Right.
But a lot of people now are calling, like it's a vinyl resurgence. Well, vinyl is a material. That's right. Just what it's made of. It's an actual record album. That's what
right.
it is.
Right.
So, yeah, we got to be careful. I don't want to get on the wrong side of a debate.
Okay, and with that, we're going to wrap up this session of Inside Rock called The Vinyl Comeback with Oat,
Queeks, and Sean Vacation,
the Jabber Guys. Remember to go to our website, jabberguys.com, to subscribe to our podcasts, Inside Rock and Weird and Wacky World.